Welcome to Fandom City Cinema, the cousin podcast of Press Rewind, where instead of discussing older films, we discuss films that are a little more current, anything from 2000 to the present, and various film-related topics. We tackle all genres and often discuss brand new releases like what we're discussing today. We will be talking about the Netflix hit, yes, I said hit, Jingle Jangle. Before we get to it, let's introduce ourselves. I am the Fandom City Sheriff T.
I'm the Fandom City Mayor Shell.
I am the Fandom City Alderman, Leona X.
And I am the Artist Cat.
So, Jingle Jangle. Every time I hear that, I want to
Jingle Jangle.
I didn't think about that. I was thinking about something jingling in my pocket. Anyway, I think Georgia Satellites. Anywho, so what made you guys see this movie? Let's start with you, Leona.
I had several reasons not to watch it. It's not that I hate Christmas movies. It's not that level. I just don't jump all into them like most people. I'll watch it if I ain't got nothing to do. An unpopular opinion I don't feel comfortable sharing, but y'all know what it is. I'm not the biggest fan of Forrest Whitaker. It's not that I dislike him, but he's not a draw for me. He's not a draw. I'm not like, what? Forrest Whitaker in it? Let me go watch it. So Forrest Whitaker and Christmas, I went, yeah, no thank you. But I kept hearing good things, and I was like, you know what? I'm in the spirit, and I want to see our peoples having some good holiday fun. And I knew nothing about it, but I watched it. Yeah. With the kid, by the way.
So I had seen it come up on Netflix. I don't know if you guys know this about Netflix. You probably have noticed, but I don't know how much you thought about it. Like, I've thought about it. Netflix has a habit of previewing things they think you will like. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll put that first, and then also, like, even if you have it paused, it'll be like, it'll show you movies they think you might like, or mm-hmm. TV shows. Anyway, so it popped up like, hey, Jingle Jangle. And I was like, let me add this to the list, and didn't think anything else about it. And then I have a friend, a Twitter friend, who had tweeted about it. It's a white guy. And he was like, I need to be watching Jingle Jangle. I'm like, Still hadn't watched it. And then you, Leona, mentioned you were going to watch it. And I was like, let me get on this Jingle Jangle. I ain't doing that now. So just rewatching shows I've already seen. Let me get on this Jingle Jangle. So that's why I watched it.
Jim? Real quick, can I add one thing that actually pushed you over the edge, believe it or not? Was actually Keegan-Michael Key on Colbert or something, one of them. And I didn't realize he was in it. I just saw Forrest Whitaker and a little girl. I didn't know anyone else in it. And him talking about, it's not spoilery. Him talking about being a villain in it. I was like, must see. So that also helped me. Don't get me wrong, didn't seal the deal, but I feel like it pushed me to it. So I'm sorry, carry on.
And speaking of him, he's the only person I saw. I saw a little girl and I saw him. And I was like, and they were, he was singing and dancing. And I was like, is it on music or is he just singing one song? Like, I had no idea. Telling you, Netflix knows what I like.
Because Netflix knows you don't want to see it. You ain't tell me. It never told me to watch that.
Netflix was like, go ahead, Shell. Go ahead, Kat.
So I had seen like a trailer or something of it.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, movie with black people and they're not suffering rappy times. And I was like, maybe I'll watch that. And I never noticed it was a Christmas movie. I just knew that there were bright lights and people.
The only reason I knew it was Christmas was, well, because it did say it in the title, although I didn't always see that. But actually, Forrest Whitaker was on Trevor Noah, Trevor Noah said, oh, you're in his kids' Christmas movies. That's the only reason I knew, but you're right. If I didn't see it as part of the title or hear someone say it, I don't necessarily know that I would have said Christmas movie.
Right, because definitely when I first like saw it in passing, I saw part of the trailer because grandma was watching it. And right. I was like, oh, them happy black people are back.
Happy black people. I mean, if that ain't a selling point, then what is?
That is a selling point.
I kind of wish I'd seen the trailer like y'all did, because I didn't know about the heavy black people. I'd have been jumped on.
I was like, I like supporting things where black people aren't traumatized over something that we're always traumatized by.
Right.
We're going to get into it later, but it was really like, yeah, for it to be Christmas, and yeah. There's no Christmas and trauma go
hand in hand.
Right, right.
But definitely, it took me a minute to get to it, because I always go, I'm going to watch that, and if nobody tells me to, I forget. I'm like,
And you know,
same way.
I was going to do it sooner. I wanted to do it sooner, but my movie partner kept getting in trouble and couldn't watch TV. I'm like, you tripping.
See, you better than me. Because movie partner, now when you get in trouble, I'm watching that with you. I'm going to watch it and tell you all about it over dinner.
I know, but you, but I guess also, again, because I didn't know it was for me. I thought it was a kid's movie.
Okay.
That Forrest Whitaker happened to be in. So I'm like, I'm going to watch this whole kid's movie with no kids. Not that you can't do that, by the way. I can't do that.
Which further proves you're a better person than me, because I've done it. You know I don't like kids' movies. And I've been like, oh, you wanted to see that? I'm going to watch it and tell you all about it. It's really bad.
I don't even dislike kids' movies as much as you do, but I still ain't doing that to myself.
I saw it. Netflix does recommend stuff like this to me, and I don't know what everybody else in the world does, but at least once or twice a week I just sit down and watch trailers on Netflix. So
all right.
For no reason, just what's coming out next week, and I watch trailers.
I forget Netflix exists unless there's a reason for me to watch something. I really will forget I even started watching something.
I get tweets from them. I get messages from them on YouTube. And then they're in my business. I watch the little coming up thing on Netflix. But anyway, I like the trailer. All I ever saw was Forrest Whitaker and the little girl. Last week, I saw the clip of Anika singing, and that sealed the deal. I was going to watch it anyway, because it's Christmas movies and singing and Christmas movies. So, you know. And
you said that twice.
I was going to watch it. But that song, whoo.
Yeah, I didn't even know
Anika was
in it.
I'm telling you, when Netflix showed it, they were like, look, it's Keegan Michael Key, and it's Christmas, and look, he dancing. You ever seen Keegan Michael Key dance?
No.
Here's your chance. And I was like, I'm intrigued, Netflix. I shall watch.
I feel the need to take it back, because it was actually Willie Geist's show that I saw him on talking about it. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because he talked about how theater was like his love or whatever. Even though comedy is what broke, it was his breakout theater, and like this was his love. And I was like, I kind of want to see him in his element. And I felt like this performance was going to show me. I ain't about to watch the prom.
I mean, but you know, we straying off the subject, but I just need to get this out there. As we watching everybody sing, right, in this movie, I was sitting back. Yeah, I was like, well, my Forrest ain't going to sing. Right.
I said the same thing.
Me too.
I said, I was like, he is that much. I was like, I gotta give some love to him. If they wanted him in this role so much, even though they knew he wasn't gonna sing. But they said, this is your role. Everybody around you gonna sing. But not you.
I knew he was gonna be like Benjamin Potapy. I knew he wasn't gonna sing a darn lick or like sing it slightly off key, like one line.
Sing it or sing like the dude
dancing
in Les Mis. Just
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, just totally just
like
flush it down the toilet. But no. So I mean, Kat and I had to pause the movie. I was like, wait a minute.
I was like, well, all right.
dude went to school to be an opera singer. Like, oh, hold on.
Right. Put you in your place.
Right.
Put me in mind.
I'm not your favorite person, but you're going to take these blessings.
Love Forrest. And he just but I just knew that he wasn't going to sing. And he just, okay. Next.
He's like, you thought. Okay, so we want to talk about the movie Deep. You want to take that Leona? Or no?
Talk about what?
You. Who wrote it and directed it and who's in it? You don't have to. Is Kat ready with it?
Sorry that I couldn't hear what you said.
Is Kat... Look at Kat. No.
I mean, I could say it. The movie was written and directed by David E. Talbert, and it's starring Forest Whitaker as Jeronicus Jangle.
Jerry.
Or Jerry. My name's Jeronicus. Felicia Rashad, who... I'm going to come back to her real quick. Keegan-Michael Key, who was Gustafson. Anika Noni Rose as Jessica, Jeronicus' daughter. Ricky Martin, who was the voice of Don Juan Diego. I don't see the little girl's name. Oh, Madeline Mills was her name as Journey. And I mentioned Felicia Rashad because she is the grandmother who was telling the story to the kids. That opens the movie up. Do you want me to go through everybody? Lisa Davina Phillip is Miss Johnston. And then we've got other people.
I just want to point out, because I spent from the moment the character was introduced, I'm like, I know his voice, but I don't know how I know this voice. Who is this? Diego. I was like, who is this? I just had to look, because I was sure. It's like, it's Ricky Martin. That's Ricky Martin.
And then also singing to a level unexpected. I mean, don't get me wrong, the man can sing, but I wasn't no Menudo singing this time.
I honestly had no idea, and I kept resisting the urge to look. I was like, no, because usually I'm really good, and I figure it out, and it just wasn't coming to me, and didn't have it to walk in, and knew. I was like, get out.
wait, how did Mitt know? I ain't know Mitt be listening to Ricky Martin like that.
It wasn't immediate. They did give it a good listen, but still, it was quick.
What they know Ricky Martin from? That dude was on my wall. I should know Ricky Martin's voice if I know nothing else.
You're falling off.
You're falling off, dude.
Well, I know. Well, he wasn't a little kid. That's the voice. That's where the balls dropped, because they put him out after that. You know what Menudo be doing. He wasn't bassing your voice. Get out!
Alrighty then.
So, Kat, do you want to tell everybody what Jingle Jangle is about?
I can try. am I just going off the top of my head?
You can go on IMDb, you can go off the top of your head, you can make something up.
What'd you feel it was about? What does your heart say it was about?
My heart says that Jingle Jangle is about some mid-century time where magic and toys were living together in harmony, and Jeronicus Jangle was the greatest toy inventor ever until he didn't give his assistant enough attention, and his assistant got upset, was manipulated and gaslit by a toy, and committed petty thievery, left, became the best toy maker. Old dude Jeronicus went into a Great Depression for literal years, like 30, neglected that's... his daughter. Granddaughter.
Okay, so this is like you writing this on the back of the DVD. So that's all. The back of the DVD we have it. Everything. You'd be like, okay.
Did you want a shorter version? Okay, I'll try to do like an IMDb Google type of thing. Okay. Jingle Jangle is about the magic of Christmas and how Christmas magic is the friends we made along the way.
Look, I'm looking at IMDb and ain't that far off of
this. It ain't that far off at all.
An imaginary world comes to life in a holiday tale of an eccentric toy maker, his adventurous granddaughter, and a magical invention that has the power to change their lives forever.
I think you sounded up very nice.
You did.
That was very good. We made some friends along the way. Yeah.
What did I think of the music?
The music was great.
Did you have any...
I don't
remember any of the songs. Did you have any favorite moments?
My favorite moment was the snowball dance off, mm-hmm. the snowball fight dance off.
Oh, yes.
Because mm-hmm. I just wasn't expecting any of that. Like, I was doing something else while I was watching it, and I turned and was like, oh, okay, right. This was happening. Right. And then Forrest Whitaker was getting it in.
I was like, oh, so he's going to stand still. He ain't going to dance. Really, so he kept on fooling me. I was like, look here, Forrest, why are you playing with me? I just spent the last 30 years watching you be all dramatic. The most comedic thing I've ever seen in me was Downtown, and then he gonna come up in here.
That's so funny. I find it hard to say favorites, but I guess the standouts, you know, that obviously I remember very well. But I really did love Keegan-Michael Key's, his performance, his Gustafson whole, like, I'm that man, Mr. Magic G or whatever he said, however he called himself. I love that. It just stayed, thank you. It stayed in my head for a good while after we'd watched it. Like, I was still kind of singing it and dancing and everything. I thought that entire thing, can I just say that and a few other numbers, particularly that one, gave me the good parts of Idlewild.
Shade.
I mean, this is somebody who was so overhyped about Idlewild. My gosh, it hurts my heart. But it has some amazing dance sequences, you know?
Oh,
and I just really enjoyed that number. And I enjoyed Miss Johnston, too. That it was called Miles and Miles, actually. The one she sang to him. Like, even though she was team too much, I still did love her. Because I didn't expect her. I don't know if I said this or not. I didn't realize it was a musical.
Okay.
So hearing her break out into the song too, like, I was just like I don't know, I wasn't expecting her to for some reason. I don't know why. I should have. But I really enjoyed it.
Man,
I had no idea.
You go first. You go first.
I had no idea it was. Like I said, I saw Keegan-Michael Key sing and dance, but I thought that was supposed to be just part of the fantasy. Like, he just sings this song to sell something. I didn't know it was a musical. So when it opened up with Jeronicus and them singing, I was just like, is this an actual musical? And you know I love musicals, so I was hoping it was. And then when the next song happened, I was like,
see,
yes, this is wonderful. Right. I love
and
it.
That was another reason to watch it, because I knew it was a musical. And so I got my Christmas and I got my musicals. You didn't hear Mom say it's a musical. She kept on saying it. She was like, they just break out a song for no reason.
Wait, so was she saying it as a warning, as if she's not the one who raised
the
collection?
No, she said it as a warning. She said it as a warning, not to me. She said it as a warning to Kat.
Okay. No, I didn't hear anything. All I knew was Black Joy, and I started deleting everything people said to me. I came in with, like, the least amount of information. I didn't know who was in it. I didn't know it was a musical. I didn't know it was about Christmas.
Oh, my God. I decided that she goes into all the podcast movies with the least amount of information.
I go into everything but nothing.
She's like the person on the game show who has to sit in the isolation booth with the headphones and the goggles until it's time to come out, and then she's like,
I prefer to watch the movies.
I didn't watch the movie.
I don't know if I have a favorite. I really enjoyed the first song and Keegan-Michael Key's and Miss Johnston's. I mean, and when her backup singers came out of nowhere.
How wild Biebs gonna say, they got nothing to do. Especially when they popped up later when she sang a little bit of him. And they came back. He was like, them again, where they come from?
That's their job. One of those guys is, he's in the Smeezingtons. I know you guys don't know who the Smeezingtons are. They're Bruno Mars's backup singers, but also his writers and producers. So he's like the guy who write a lot of, he knows Bruno Mars write a lot of his songs.
Okay. And obviously, I like the Nika Noni's song.
I was like, if she don't just shut it down up in this piece. I mean, like, come on.
Then she got her one song, and one song she tore it up and was like, okay, I'll take my leave now.
I was like, they're not going to waste her on it. And I was like, that one song was not a waste.
I was like, there's no way they're going to waste her. I was like, there's no way they cast her. They're not going to have her. Oh, you mean because she only sang one song?
Yeah.
Okay. But still, yeah.
I believe all the songs are good. I need to see if the soundtrack is for sale, because I know it's not on the same level, but the guy who wrote the bulk of the music wrote the music for The Greatest Showman, and I bought that soundtrack.
What?
Oh, when I was watching, I was like, was this choreographed by the people who did The Greatest Showman? I pretend like The Greatest Showman don't have nothing to do with that racist dude. So, you know. But,
I just thought The Greatest Showman was written by Pasek and what's his
name? Oh, I'm just saying.
Maybe they wrote one song.
Right.
I don't like them, so I tend to, cut them out of stuff. Because I find them boring. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah, so. I know he wrote the original music. I can't think. John Debney. And he has something to do with The Greatest Showman. Anyway, I need to see if this. Long story short, I just need to see if this soundtrack is available, so I can purchase.
Did you have any favorite songs from musical? Mom, and you don't like musicals, so maybe not. Okay.
Hmm? Musicals are fine.
Okay.
She's a musical. Sorry.
No, I did like the part when Mrs. Johnston came out and her background dancers came in, but also my favorite song was the Make It Work song with Anika Noni Rose, because I only knew her from The Princess and the Frog, and I was like, oh, she sang real good in that one, and then I exploded when she started singing.
Do you know my actual favorite part in Dreamgirls is when she says to Eddie Murphy, that she gotta go or whatever. It's like 15 seconds. Not even that. Maybe 10 seconds. It's super short. And I thought it was the single best moment of the entire thing. But she's just that great.
She really is that great. Come on, y'all. She needs to be in everything.
I was like, she only used 4% of her power in The Princess.
Right.
The
She said, I gotta dumb this down for y'all. So that's how that's like Leah Salonga in Aladdin. She because they only gave her the one song anyway. She I guess I'll sing it in here.
Right. You're gonna sing it at here. Disney level. Oops, sorry. Anyway, I got a text and I already found it. It's on. Hey everybody, Jingle Jingle soundtrack is on iTunes.
Oh.
And Spotify.
I'll be listening to that.
Okay.
I want to share a quick fun fact, and then I can ask a question after I share it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I see
a fact
that says all the shops in Cobbleton are named after historical African American inventors.
Oh.
Now, the only tiniest reference I even noticed was Edison being named Edison Latimer. I did not notice the shops in the town. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. And I want to go back and see that.
Right.
But it does lead me to a question. And Kat, sort of, in your original synopsis, kind of alluded to what I'm about to ask. When and where is this set?
The mid-century.
The mid-century. See, and
century? What century?
I had in 19th century. Late 19th century.
It looks like late 19th century, early 20th century. You know that
there are cars, right?
And that's where you're. There are carriages, but Mrs. Johnson popped an engine. Okay, she did. So
that's true.
It's set in an alternate universe. That is what turned us over to
20th. We did say early 20th. We did settle on that. Yeah,
you know what? This movie. I'm glad this movie was made, because there's so many people that make period pieces but can't find a way to include people of color.
Right,
because
exactly.
We weren't there because we just spawned out of nowhere during slavery, and then we fell back into our ether, and then came back out for the civil rights movement, then we disappeared again, and now we're back.
And it's part of why I wanted to ask it, because I don't mean to ask it as if I'm taking it apart. I'm just asking it because I'm like, thank you for it. One of the things I was saying to you, Shell, kind of recently about what kind of stops me in my writing is that I'm trying to make everything as I know it exactly, right? And I'm not saying this Cobbleton couldn't have existed for real, but it's not something I've ever been exposed to, right?
Right.
So my brain wouldn't have allowed me to create it, because I don't know this wonderful land where we all chilling. Everybody's happy. Everybody respects each other. And it's mostly people who look like us living in this town. And Edison had a little bit of a British sound accent. and rest of them sounds in America, and that was fine to me. Like, none of it bothered me. But it's a thing that I pick apart in my own work, which I find interesting.
And how the toy that was going to take Geronicus to the next level was Latin. You know, it just says a lot.
Yes, exactly.
So it can be done. Hollywood, it can be done and be done successfully. I mean,
with the only trauma being common, like petty thievery.
Right. Black people can be villains and the good guy.
And villains, so you're like, oh, you're a bad guy, but you still like something about you was, you know, drawing me towards you. It's funny you said that because I wanted to mention that because, like, every time I cut on Netflix or anything and like the preview shows up, my first thought is, especially if it's something current, I go, why could one of them have been a person of color?
Right.
If not both. It's just a love story. Why couldn't one of them have been a person of color? They ain't gotta be black.
Why couldn't somebody be a person of color? Like,
I don't understand why.
Shade, no shade, but a lot of shade. Christmas in California. I mean, California don't have people
Christmas
of color.
Christmas in California. There's one with the lady from Sex and the City and Rob Lowe. Why couldn't one of them have been a person of color? Why couldn't Happiest Season? Why couldn't one of them have been a person of color? I don't understand. And I guess it's just because these writers don't know any people of color, so they don't know what to write. And it's like, just write people.
Just write people.
Just write,
because
just write
this
people.
Was people. This, this movie right here was people. I didn't hear there's always going to be some tone of trauma or pain, even in the comedies. There is something about what we've gone through as people that you usually know the character black. It wasn't gonna be played by nobody else. This movie right here could have been played by anybody. It was just about them as people and having a great experience as people. And I just, that never happens for us. And I'm not gonna blame anybody, but I do think that's part of why people like me who've ever wanted to be a writer, we limit ourselves because we ain't see it enough.
Yep.
We keep thinking ain't nobody buying into it instead of pushing. So I respect the people who push and like, no, I'm making this.
If we can't blame anybody, can we blame the industry? Because let's face it, Hollywood and the media kind of point people in directions. So
not kind of.
So okay. you can put people in these roles, and when somebody says a black man can't be the villain that steals somebody's secret inventions, Hollywood could have said 50, 60, 100 years ago, yeah, they can. We're going to write it this way, and this is how it is. And people, but people want to stop, won't watch it, but they will eventually because no one wants to see them and read a book. All right, so
who cares?
But they don't bring in the bulk of the dollars anyway at that time.
Exactly, who cares? So like, you know, there's this new show coming on, and I don't want to talk about it too long because we're talking about this, but there's a new show coming out called Bridgerton that's set in like Regency England or something, and the main character is black, and like there's a lot, like there's black characters everywhere throughout, and I'm just waiting, I haven't looked, but I'm just waiting for people to be upset about it and say it's not true, it's not existing. It's like, crack open a freaking history book.
Kirkworm,
it did exist
and plus, you know, what's that, Shonda, they had already done it with the Romeo and Juliet one. It did exist. There was we're getting off the subject, but I suppose they coming up with more and more of these medieval things showing you how people of color were part of, you know, I know, like I said, people want to believe that only, you know, the world exists because of white people, you know, and you know, there's little nooks of the world that's China, and you know, little nooks of the world, that's the way they say it. I'm not saying that, little nooks of the world, that's Japan, they got their own little personal history, and then Africa, you know, but they don't want to admit that we were part of this European experience that you want to pretend like, you know. So, you know, people who writing stories about, and don't even write, if you think you can't write it about for real, then write it in an alternate universe. I'm kind of tired of people acting like people of color and LGBTQ people can't be a part of the experience.
They believe we don't exist there either because it's too much for their imagination to, because they don't want to see it. They think it's not possible.
Okay. We straight.
And then I say, to that, I say, don't watch it. I'm not watching y'all stuff either. I'm not watching that one of these white movies. Seen them all. 30 years ago. I'm good.
So,
did you have any more trivia? Or
I want to point something out. When Geronicus went and to get something out of his trunk, and you know how old, back in them old days, and they get the steamship trunks, and they got the different countries that they've been to, there was a Wakanda sticker on it.
I didn't see it. I just read that fact, right? I didn't see it. That's cool.
Yeah. So I gotta go back and watch this. So three Dreamgirls alum are in it. Felicia Rashad was a standby for Dina Jones and the original Broadway production. Anika Nani Rose played Laurel in the movie. And Marisha Wallace played Effie in the West End production. Hmm. That's pretty
cool. That is pretty cool. Dreamgirl.
We got Dreamgirls.
I've never seen Dreamgirls.
What?
Oh, you are not surprised by that. You
not
be.
Even like any parts of the stage.
Is it available? If the stage show is available, I watch it.
Oh, I'm sure you can find it on Google, on YouTube. Oh, I'm sure okay. You could.
What else?
So, can we talk about the young lady? So, one of the things that I. In trying to say to T, like, yeah, go on and watch it. I was like, I know you don't like kid voices. I don't love kid voices, but I know T hates them. And I feel like Cheryl, maybe you even
I
know.
Don't hate them, but
but she'll always come in with some. You know I don't like no listen to no children. So.
Come back when you're 16.
Why are we broken inside and we don't like to hear kids sing?
There's just some people make it
Star
too much.
Search.
Star Search. Oh my gosh. Honestly, sometimes Apollo, when they had Apollo kids, oof, and honestly,
I'm gonna blame
shows
Vaughn.
Like who?
Countess Vaughn.
That's okay. I'm about to say 227. I'm about to say shows like 227, but let's just call it what it is. 227. And trying to force this child to sing for the time. Let it go.
She won, and she did well when she won, okay? But right. That, you brought her on the show just to sing? Stop exploiting her.
Oh, right? My gosh. Does this character add anything else? I just hate it. But anyway, so this little girl, when she sang, I was kind of like, what's it going to be? I thought she did quite well. I tried to convince T of it. I don't know how you felt in the end, but I thought she did quite well.
She did very well.
Yeah, she did.
She's really I enjoyed good.
Everybody who sang was good. I enjoyed all of the voices.
Mm-hmm. What is it? The square root of impossible to me.
What'd you say?
It's square root of impossible to me. Sorry, what did you say?
I was agreeing with Cheryl that I thought everybody did well, and I kind of wasn't expecting it because of the Russell Crowe debacle.
Right. More. Okay, real quick, for Russell Crowe tobacco, let's talk about Forrest then. So, obviously, we didn't expect him to sing. But when he did his thing, were you like...
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. I was like, okay. Who said I like you? Who told you that? Who
told you that?
I did not mind that you said the blick.
He's like, it's not my fault they keep putting in movies with these ridiculous accents. I mean, I gotta work, right? I'm trying my best.
Nobody asking me to sing, you know? I can't sing. Nah.
Don't make me sing.
But see, that's the thing, because I had Kat look him up. We was looking him up. I was like, where's the singing coming from? And when, you know, because one, I wanted to know, because, you know, he was killing it with that new Boston accent he had going on up in there. He was New York, he was Boston. I was like, where is this dude from?
I thought it was just me. I'm like, wait. Where are we?
Oh my God.
That's probably the mistake of couples.
Right. You'll never know where they are. Never.
But I was just curious where he is from. And then, you know, so he's from California. So I'm like, but then, you know, she start breaking down where he went to school and what he majored in, and he went to school to sing, and I was like, what? So I'm gonna say,
they be denying us all the time. They've been denying us all this.
Right, because these stereotypical jerks saw a tall, big dude and was like, I'm good. You know, sing? He can't sing. Dance? No, he ain't gonna sit and dance in the middle of the street with a bunch of little kids. And he did. And I've been missing out on that for 30 years. I'm mad at Hollywood. You're sitting here making us listen to, no offense, Eddie Murphy sing Party All the Time, all the doggone time. And I couldn't get a Forest Whitaker album.
Yes. Party all. Oh, Eddie.
Sorry.
Girl, I can't understand it.
Don't.
Why you
Can we please talk real quick about why no one ever references How Could It Be?
because we want to give Ed some credit. We say, okay, he carried a tune, but how could it be? It's like,
how could it be? That's what it is. That's how could it be? It's how it, could
it's
it
not
be?
Russell Crowe, but
that you don't love me. Cat, you just don't know if you missing.
We had a famine.
Oh my god!
It's gotta be downstairs. Look at that record still. That guy had a record still.
So. Oh man!
You gotta be somewhere.
What? Okay.
He has a song called "Oh Ja Ja Ja."
So okay, no, we're not doing that. So some of the hate I saw, I'm not giving the hate a lot of energy, any more than what I'm about to say. But one of the things I saw was a comment that it was basically a mishmash of other movies we've seen before, right? And I can't lie that before I saw that comment, I thought, oh, it's giving me a familiar feeling. I never thought copy. I never thought anything like that. I just thought it's giving me like a familiar kids movie feeling. And then I realized, familiar, because most of these that you're talking about, I ain't never seen, because I never wanted to, because it didn't feel like it was made for me. I never saw no Wonder Emporium, whatever the guy was talking about. I never saw like these kids' fantasy movies because they ain't represent me. And even if they had, even if I saw every movie this person is saying is mishmash, it still wasn't us, a reflection of us. And what's wrong with us finally getting to see a magical world, a fantastical whatever, and it's us?
Okay,
what were the movies?
I don't remember. I had to find it. I bet I could easily.
Well, why are you looking? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, why are you looking? How about this? I don't care. A lot of movies that are made nowadays are a mishmash of something else or a complete remake. And how it's not even just that is people of color and black people. I just don't care because that's what Hollywood does. Is they copy stuff. So, and it was different. Even if it's a mishmash, and as far as like, when, let me go back to my Christmas movies. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't watch kids' Christmas movies. So, I watch happy, wonderful Christmas movies, but I don't watch movies that are...
This Wonder Emporium isn't even a Christmas movie, is it?
No, no, he was saying... The person was just saying...
Like the magical style aspect of it.
Yeah.
I'm this person who's just going to go and find a movie and just look for stuff to hate on it. So, whatever.
Oh, no. The main thing to hate about it was right in your face, what these people look like.
Right.
Yeah. If that had been a white cast, I just don't think that person would have said it.
No, absolutely not. And honestly... Absolutely not.
I do think that if it had been a white cast, nobody would have said anything. Because when I saw the trailer, I actually did think it was going to be like Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium, which I had never seen before because I wasn't interested. There were a lot of white people. But like, look, it was like, wow, black Wonder Emporium.
Right.
I found it. It's Wonder Emporium Short Circuit meets Christmas Carol meets Polar.
Wait, hold on. Short Circuit?
I would have said Wally.
Right. Short circuit. And if I had to say, the first thing I thought of was that the choreographer reminded me of The Greatest Showman, other than and the music reminded, but I didn't care. So what?
But everything is going to remind you of something. Like
everything,
everybody's
there are no more
other.
Original ideas.
Right. Yeah, and I don't even want to say it's not originality. We're all just influenced.
Right.
Whether
right.
we think it's a direct influence or not, you're influenced by
exactly.
someone.
You can't say you're not. And while we're on the subject of just that type of thing and familiarity and Christmas movies specifically, didn't it, after watching Happiest Season, didn't I text you guys and say, have you noticed that every single one of these Christmas dysfunction, family dysfunction movies, they end up at a bar?
Right.
Every
right.
single one. Every right. single one. This Christmas, Happiest Season, Nothing Like the Holidays, right. A Family Stone. They always end up at a bar to, like, sort of get away from it all and regroup. Like,
right.
All of this, everything follows a formula. Who cares?
But that's the thing, though. Even this is not even, this isn't following Emerson's formula. Exactly. There's some of the style. There's some of the style choices that were made. I don't care. I'm with you, Shell, that I don't care because I still can't name ones with black people, especially where the main character is really a little black girl that is showing this kind of thing. It is new to me.
And if you're going to talk about Wonder Emporium or whatever, isn't that just Mary Poppins?
Right.
Like, come on. That is,
why can't, if you want to say it's bit off something.
You know why we can't.
Because, you know, because, I mean, you got the main characters are black, you know, the side characters, a handful of white people, but you had Asian people, you know, the main, I'm not going to even say that Gustafson was the main villain. Diego was.
Ricky Martin was.
And then, you just can't handle it. So what? Okay. I don't know. I you know, we all can find reasons, ways to pick apart movies, you know. The last three trilogies of Star Wars were copies off the first three. So who cares? Okay. Just bad copies. So I don't care.
Copies.
Right.
Of the first three. I got one for you. Pride and Prejudice and Sensibility are the same movie. The same story. The Count of Monte Cristo is the Three Musketeers.
Right.
Hello. Well,
yeah.
So, you know.
I just, right. And I think that just kind of takes me into that idea there that there are movies like this, especially when I'm watching it with the Beepster. I'm like, sometimes I want to say sad, but sometimes I'm like, dang, I didn't get to grow up with this. But how happy I am that he gets to grow up seeing this. Like, to him, it's the norm. Go ahead.
Right. I just want to quickly correct myself. Not Three Musketeers, Man, Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay. That's what I thought you meant, actually. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just another one. There's been a few over the years. Black Panther obviously was one where I didn't. It's like you think about it and you're like, yeah. Hey, yeah, I didn't grow up with this superhero and these people he's surrounded by looking like me. And I didn't grow up seeing a musical with such a grand...
Right.
It had to be a huge budget. You know, all this amazing CGI and all the effects and blah, blah. And it's people who look like us.
Right.
And it's not like this is a magical only black town. Like you said, it's diverse. Other people there. It's just that we the focus.
It's about us.
I mean, you know... Growing up, like I said, I always watched Christmas movies, and I loved watching Christmas musicals the most. I think my favorite old Christmas movie is Christmas in Connecticut with Barbara Stanwyck. That's not a musical, but you know, I used to watch Holiday Inn. But one day I watched it as an adult for the first time, and Bing Crosby blackfaced. And I haven't watched it. I never know. Maybe that's where they went to commercial on Channel 43. But I watched it on Turner, and Turner Classics will not. They will say, "Here's your blackface. You know, see them for what they did." You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't not watch movies because of blackface, but blackface didn't belong in this. You know, when you see a movie and they tell a story and you see why they put blackface in the story, right? Not that they plan that the character was blackface, but you see where the story led to that, right? But in this movie, it was just sing, 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 sing. Now we're going to perform on stage and Bing Crosby's going to perform in blackface. There was no reason for it, and it just ruined it, you know? So yeah, growing up, in that, you know, watching movies from the 30s and 40s and 50s, growing up in the 80s, you know, I'm happy to see something that, one, growing up in the 80s, all your Christmas movies was somebody getting robbed or leaving it, you know, or murdered or something. You know, Christmas movies were, you know, with Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. There were no happy, you know, which are not Christmas movies to me, but
they are.
Say your thought.
No, I'm just so. like I said, name a movie that's not a copy or somebody else hasn't done it already. I don't care.
At the end of the day, it's not even about that. It's like what Leona said, is that they don't like to see us in those positions. They don't want to see us happy and successful. And the reason why we're not successful is because someone robbed us and we can't prove it. And so then we find, you know, the depression is, how do I go back to that person? Not, oh, I ain't got no food. Like, he still had a job.
He kept his business open, he still took care
of his family. He still did everything he was supposed to do. They want to see us downtrodden. They want to see us suffer. And if they don't see that, then that's a problem. Well, this isn't realistic. It's a fantasy.
Like I said, it all goes back to period pieces that feature Black people and people of color.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, even without the period piece, like, they don't want to see us happy on anything.
I agree with that, but I just think that it bothers them more that they are dressed in 19th century clothing and living that 19th century life, but the main character wasn't white.
I don't like that you brought that up, because now it's making me think about how, do you think they get mad if we don't make them sympathy pieces? Where they're like,
yeah,
now I can't sympathize with you. You're fine.
Yes. Because that's the only way they can relate to us. It has to be, let me save you. Let me help you. Or you come say this magical thing to make me be better. There's no magical Negroes in this movie.
And there's no save. He saved himself, or he was saved.
There's no white savior.
By him, you know, the white man, you know, said, you got to do this, or bank is taking your business. And when the white man was pleased with the end result and hugged him, and everybody lived happily ever after.
He didn't keep trying to make him lose. He said, oh, you're
right.
Right.
He didn't
come back and say,
hey, this is what you got to do. He said, he didn't even say, I don't believe in you. He said, you got to this day. He almost said, you got this, you know, and then went on his way.
That is kind of interesting, too. He wasn't trying to keep him down. Or he wasn't just in his way at all in the least. Yeah. He wanted to work out for him.
Right.
He was genuinely happy when it worked
out. Because before he left, he said, he waited 30 years. He gave him 30 years to get his stuff together.
Right.
So he's like, I want you to succeed, but you only have a few more days. Your 30 years is up. So I need you.
Your lease is up, buddy.
How much do you think it stunk? Did you feel for Gustafson at the end?
Yes.
Yes.
A little bit.
In the way that I felt for Mr.
Okay.
Like, oh, dang. But you done fucked up. Yeah. So how do you have?
Right. Yeah, go ahead, Kat.
I was just going to say, for me, I was like, dang. I was like, you did steal, but dang. And I think I kind of liked the balance was like, the movie wasn't like, he's utter garbage, trash bin. It was just like, it lets you take it how you want to take it. Like, do you have a problem with petty thievery?
Right.
Depending on how you
view. It's not thievery, it's borrowing indefinitely.
It's borrowing indefinitely.
You borrow for a little time, my dude. I thought borrowing involved letting me know you borrowing it.
Right. Like, I'm not even upset by this, young adult, older teen or something, being manipulated by a toy who doesn't want to be mass produced. Like, it happened.
I couldn't tell if I felt sorry for him or not, because he did make a choice. I can't say he was manipulated, but that was real easy. Somebody you've been working with for a long time, it was real easy to get manipulated by a toy. Like, you were waiting for somebody to say this just because he didn't listen to you one time.
In that 30 years did he feel guilty and try to go make
He blew up so doggone fast.
Built his shop on the other side of town and didn't feel any kind of guilt, didn't check up on it. Was he paying the shop bills, you know, to keep
when his wife died?
And all because
he's in a basket of muffins,
he didn't listen. And it was the excitement of the moment, you know. Like, Kat was like, "Well, they gonna invite him to dinner." I was like, "He lived here. He is invited to dinner."
Right.
Why did he think he wasn't?
Just because he told him to sweep the floor. Sweeping, come on down to dinner.
He said, I'm done with you. Get out my face. This is the part or whatever that I've been waiting on for all this doggone time. Of course I'm excited and I don't want to talk to you for a second. Give me a... Come on, Magic G.
And he probably sat there, probably was sitting at the table, like, where's Gustafson? So he made him a plate, made him a tray, put the gift on. He was like, Gustafson, come on. Did you think I was not going to include you?
That was dirty. That was so dirty.
Man, I could kind of get it. You going to give the little girl who come in every 3 days a pair of glasses? I live here.
That's his daughter.
You jealous of his daughter?
Yeah.
That's his daughter. But what?
I've been your apprentice for 58 years.
He was hating on the daughter. But can we talk for a moment about the magic of toy making? That this sentient toy was like mass produced. I don't think so.
Immediately, he was like, "Oh,
What was it? What was in that port that he was waiting for?"
Right, for real. What did you create, my dude?
And that he survived the whole 30 years manipulating.
Oh,
I mean, he come out. He conceded,
chilling on his shoulder. He was ever
shaking his butt. He's conceded. He telling him, you know. Then he heard that mass produce and he, oh no, we gotta do something about this. Break out into song.
But why would Gustafson take his dude everywhere he went? When he came outside and he was on his shoulder, I was like, okay, he could have got left.
It made me wonder, like, is Gustafson, is this guy actually talking to him? Or is he just like crazy?
No,
he was schizophrenia. But then when he started talking to Forrest Whitaker, I was like, oh, okay.
And how come Gustafson, in 30 years, Gustafson didn't know how to turn him off?
He's been manipulating too long.
Don't do it.
What'd you say, Kat?
I said he'd been manipulating too long and also probably didn't even know where the back was. He wasn't even there.
Plus, he knew he wasn't good at anything. So that was another thing Beeb was saying. He was like, he said it before the doggone, in his song, while he's still having his great song moment. He said, I ain't seen him test anything. How he know his stuff works? He don't know what he's doing.
Right.
And I was like, uh-oh. And so when the thing messed up, he was like, oh, shoot, he really did test it. And then later, when he stole the, I want to say Johnny number five. Number five, what was that?
Buddy 3000.
Buddy 3000. When he stole him, he was like, oh, shoot, he ain't tested first. He don't know what he's doing. And I think that's so interesting. That's Gustafson didn't even believe in himself.
Right.
That's why he took Don Juan everywhere. He couldn't even speak for himself.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't feel sorry for him. Get your head together.
So he spent those 30 years. He had one invention. Say we had 30 inventions in here. One invention per year he released, right? In that 30 years, since he only releasing one every 30, you know, one a year he releasing for 30 years. We not going to, like, work practice figure where we went wrong on the whirly whirl.
You just gone. It's been collecting dust all this time. And you just going to test it out for people right now?
But he rehearsed his dance
Not
moves.
Even test it out? Right.
Ooh. And why you keep letting that doll slap him?
Right, he wouldn't even move. He just took it. But yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures of little girls with their hair like Journey.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, and I've seen like little books, you know, that are targeted obviously to little girls and like finding your magic and you know and be. You can also love STEM, you know, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. I thought that was cool too. I see a lot of things targeting little
That's
girls.
That's good. That's cool.
She was a very interesting character.
You know, I liked her, and obviously I like Miss Johnston. I just liked how, even though you said she was teen too much, I just like how she knew what she wanted.
She knew what she wanted, honey.
She was looking at nobody.
Was she bordering? Or did she flip on over?
What she got? She was so tall in the back of her truck.
You just ready with?
Just in case he walk up. I got your stuff.
And I just saw the toes curl when he kissed her, though. She was done. Like,
oh. At first, I was like, did she like it? Because she got quiet.
He shut her up good.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Jerry.
Jerry, poor Jerry. Are you, and
my name is
Grandpa Marcus. Grandpa Jay. Why doesn't anybody say my name?
Can I call you Grandpa Geronicus? I wish you wouldn't.
He was a trap.
I actually think maybe he was my favorite character. Because it really...
He played that part really
good. It really did show... I appreciate this because they really did give you something of Forrest that... Now, I've never seen every Forrest Whitaker movie, but I've seen a lot of them. And what I've seen, this movie gave you something that I haven't, you know, seen. And I think he's a good actor. And this was just like, you know, even though he...
And the character wasn't one note. Like, the character actually changed.
Right. I want to say that too. I just gotta give it a lot of props because that main character usually has a bratty moment or has something where they went and did something they were told not to do. She didn't even do that. She didn't have like a super bratty moment. Like she really was just trying to be helpful and you know, nothing made me like set off some of that
exactly.
Like
even when Gustafson found her outside, she was like, oh, I'm on a yoga.
Right.
This is a pawn.
And like when he grabbed her arm, she was like, you want to get up off me?
Right. I love that she knew exactly who he was and she wasn't about to get manipulated and giving up the company secrets.
I need to get back to work at the pawn shop, sir.
Right. I did get mad at Edison, though. I was like, ugh, stop hanging
around. Yeah, Edison, what are you doing?
Trying to prove stuff. Go sit down somewhere. That's who need to go sit his ass down somewhere. Exactly. Go home!
Edison, go home!
I thought Gustafson was about to entice him to his side.
Right.
I did, too.
But worse. That was worse for her.
You know how? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm backtracking back to what you were saying, where the guy was saying that it was copying other movies, right? I'm just because as I'm watching it, I'm seeing bits and pieces of The Wiz, and maybe you know, I'm seeing happy stuff. You know, if I have this, you know, I was like, if you. Believe when they were talking about you gotta power it with belief.
right.
I just if that person had made that point and just admitted that we're all influenced by other things, then it'd be a point that I would have a problem with. But just to point it out to sort of denigrate this movie is just stupid.
That was dumb to me. So can I ask just one more question? I have one more question. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all wanna start wrapping it up, but so, Shell, you've talked about it being a Christmas movie a lot. Do you think of this as a Christmas movie? And this is for everybody.
How about this? I thought of it as a Christmas movie when I started watching it. And then I went down to talk to a mom about it. And I was like, and they didn't sing not one Christmas song. So I can watch this anytime I want to. Then I was like, and then when Mint said, you know, we could do it and that it's not a Christmas movie, I was like,
You look like quadruple. You look like Titus.
Christmas is in the title, but there were no Christmas decorations. There were no Christmas lights.
Only when the grandmother was reading to the jacket.
So,
what's wrong?
Her definition of Christmas movie makes no sense to me.
Are you still calling it one? I thought you were saying you're admitting it isn't.
No, I don't think it is. It's a joyous holiday movie. But I don't think it's a Christmas movie. I don't even know if it's not. It's a joyous movie.
Why'd you sigh at that? You think it is?
No,
because it is a Christmas movie.
It's
set on or around
they Christmas. Never said it was on or around because it started at Christmas.
Yes, she did. Her mom picked her up on Christmas Day.
Yeah, she picked her up.
Okay, fine. It's a Christmas-ish movie.
To me, her mom picked her up on December 25th because there's not a Christmas decoration in sight. Even old girl delivering her packages, they could be any old.
They don't have Christmas in Cobblestone Valley or wherever they live.
He does say it's Christmas Eve, but it don't sound like it's Christmas Eve and everything will be shut down tomorrow. He's just...
But like, well, that depends. Like, what is your definition of Christmas? To me, Christmas may not be about, you know, pretty wrapping paper or lights on trees, which is dangerous. And that actually is not about Christmas. That's about pagan holidays. But that's not the point. That counts.
But it's about, but it is a Christmas tradition. The whether pagan. At this point, yeah. Centuries later, like it is a Christmas tradition. And so with minus decorations and songs and even just talking about Christmas, because she said, I'm picking up a Christmas morning. It wasn't like old girl cared that it was Christmas morning. Usually they make kids all like, wee, cake Christmas. Neither one of the kids cared that it was almost Christmas. So in my mind, if they did not say, one, the white dude told him, you got to pay, do this by Christmas. And Jessica actually said, I'm picking the girl up on Christmas. If they didn't say those two things, I would have no idea it was set around Christmas.
If they didn't say Jingle Jangle, A Christmas mm-hmm. Journey, I forgot that they were reading a story at Christmas at the beginning of the movie. It's a Christmas-ish holiday fantasy jamboree. It's more of a...
So why is Holiday Inn a Christmas movie? Huh? Why is Holiday Inn a Christmas movie?
Because everything happens around Christmas. They do have a Christmas...
Oh, really? Stuff happens around Christmas?
They are, it's Christmas. Oh. They're doing a play. They're going somewhere for Christmas to celebrate Christmas. They just...
Her mom went somewhere for Christmas. Finest
Christmas movie, but Die Hard's not.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Just like Lethal Weapon is. Just like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is. Just like The Long Kiss Goodnight is.
The Long Kiss Goodnight is the Jarhead. Closest thing to a Christmas.
I've never seen it. Oh, he does dance in his Santa hat. But it's other stuff happening. So no, that's not.
That goes back to your question on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So you're saying Reindeer Games is a Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
So it's what did you places? Say, Liana? I said you are saying that.
How about you agree that it is? Yes.
See, and I always frustrated places on Christmas. Almost always.
And Trading Places is a great one because it's a Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve movie.
Holiday season.
Fine. It's a Christmas journey. Fine. Yes, it's a Christmas movie.
But you can watch. It's a Christmas movie you can watch all year long.
It's a Christmas movie you can watch all year long.
Let me tell you something.
Just like Die Hard is a Christmas movie you can watch all year long because they don't do Christmas.
You watch any of them anytime you feel like you're in the mood.
You could, but who really wants to? Like, I'd rather shove this Christmas nonsense to 1 month. I can't. It lasts too long as it is.
I watched this Christmas like a couple months ago when it popped up on Netflix.
No, it belongs. None of that. I don't want none of that. Outside of the holiday season. No thanks.
I love Christmas movies.
The ones I like, I do. But I ain't trying to see them all year long.
I was just trying to figure out how I can crunch you in all my Christmas movies between today and Friday.
Hello? Because I haven't been watching. I should have spread this out.
We finished this. I wonder what y'all watched in our Christmas season.
Die Hard.
I only have a few standards. A few musties. I think y'all know one of them.
I tell ya.
It ain't that hard. Behave. All right. I think we should go on and roll this side.
Didn't ask me.
Ask you what? I'm sorry.
Y'all went into a whole conversation about what you thought about this movie and if it was a Christmas movie.
Oh, they started. I'm sorry. Please tell us. I'm so sorry.
I was just going to say, for me, a Christmas movie falls into any other movie genre. So I think it definitely depends on the established formula and how important Christmas as a plot is. Like, Happiest Season follows regular Christmas plots, and so and Christmas is a main theme, so that's a Christmas movie. This one kind of follows a Christmas plot. I'm real in between about this, because even though the whole toy thing isn't meant for Christmas, it's just making toys, she keeps saying Merry Christmas whenever she's outside.
I didn't even notice that.
Me either.
Yeah, when she first got to the city, she was like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I was like, girl.
Okay, so it's a Christmas movie. You win, T.
So, yeah, I think that Jingle Jangle does count as a Christmas story, even though Christmas isn't important. They make Christmas important in the dialogue. I think a few of the other movies y'all keep mentioning might not, but...
First of all, you've never even seen Die Hard, so you don't know.
I said a few. I watched Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And you can replace every Christmas thing with something else, and the movie stays exactly the same.
It could be an Easter movie. It could be a 4th of July movie.
Yeah.
It can just be what it is.
So, Christmas.
Nah. Because that's like saying The Wiz is a Thanksgiving movie. That's like saying The Wiz is a Thanksgiving movie.
I'll take it.
No.
Because it was on the same day. That was Thanksgiving Day.
But Thanksgiving isn't the plot.
Sex in the City movie goes through the whole year.
What did you say?
Sex in the City movie goes through the whole year. Is it a Valentine's Day movie?
No, because it goes through the whole year.
No.
So you got to only mention one, three or less holiday? Three or fewer?
It depends on when the point of what's happening in the movie is in that time that makes it that kind of movie.
Nah.
So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang happens around Christmas.
But Christmas is not a focal point.
It is, because he's getting a toy for his niece.
But he could have gotten a toy for his niece at any point. He was going to rob the store no matter what.
But he was doing it for Christmas. No, he was robbing the store for Christmas.
But she didn't even get the toy, because it's not important.
He was robbing the store because
he's
a petty thief.
She got the newer version. She got the newer version, because he got sent to California. Yeah, I mean, you watched the movie.
I did watch the movie. It was not that important. Christmas was not important. It could
Christmas is not important anyway.
But the point is that...
Like,
it has to be a cinch.
but Christmas is important in this Christmas. Christmas is important in nothing like the holidays. Christmas is important.
But, so, can there be, maybe, movies that there are different levels of Christmasness to them? There are tiers, even.
Right.
So some, this Christmas, has nothing like the holidays. It's about families coming together to celebrate Christmas, and they keep talking about it.
Yeah, right. Those are like the most
just
Christmas.
Are some
that's
tier
Die Hard,
two,
though.
That's
more lethal weapon
than
Die Hard.
That's
his reason for going to LA. That's why he goes to LA. To celebrate Christmas with his family.
If Christmas is one of the central plot points, it's a Christmas movie.
Everything we made was a Christmas movie.
Well,
you and me.
So many Christmas movies.
You and me. Christmas was not a central plot point.
Of what?
Of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It was not.
All right. We'll never, ever all be
you.
On the same page on this, I think.
We won't.
It's quite the debate. Did y'all have anything before final thought? Or you want to just go hop on into them?
Yeah, hop on into them.
Do it.
Let's start with Kat.
This movie was nice. The music didn't bother me. When y'all were talking about kids singing, I had no idea what you meant until I thought of Into the Woods. And you're right, children singing can ruin everything. But this movie did not. It was good. It was nice. It was silly.
Would you watch it again?
If it was on. I would not willingly sit down and turn it on myself. Not unless I'm extra bored.
That's cool.
Who broke you? I just want to know. What happened?
It's not even
like a picture.
What happened.
I want you to show me a picture where someone hurt you that you
it's
cannot rewatch a movie.
Like that. It depends on how stimulating it is. And this movie was okay, but I wouldn't sit down and go, wow, I'm really in the mood to watch Jingle Jangle. Like, I'm not going
to
say that.
So do you need Jerry Seinfeld to be in it?
Stop making it seem like B-movie is what I need. B-movie is
I
bad.
Was like, do you love Jerry Seinfeld?
I do not need Jerry Seinfeld. I do not need Renee Zellweger. I don't need nobody. B-movie is not a movie I'd watch again.
Sorry, you love
That's
it so
what
much.
I heard.
Y'all are hearing the wrong thing. I have a bad rumor mill.
Well, I guess that my final thoughts, I would say, that I absolutely loved it. My kid absolutely loved it. It made it to our list. We are watching it again. I'm speaking for him. I would watch it again. In my mind, it made the cut of one of our faves, honestly, because I just thought it was a good rocking time. And I just, again, I can't stress enough that I'm glad to see more of these movies that I think I know I would have loved as a kid. And I'm just proud. I'm proud to see it and hope to see more. Good on the kids of the new generation, because they don't even know that we have it. As far as they're concerned, this is normal.
Right.
So I think it's fantastic. And props to Forest Whitaker. We didn't even talk much about Felicia Rashad.
Oh,
props.
Who I'll watch anything because she's in it.
I love her. And I didn't even understand. Every time I see her, I'm like, how do I love you this much? I don't understand.
Right. Her and Debbie, to be honest with you. Yes.
Right? Like, I still ain't watching Nutcracker. I know I love me some Nutcracker.
I want to see it.
Netflix.
Okay. Yes, I loved it. I'd watch it again. I thought it was a really great movie. I thought the music was great. I thought the choreography was great. I was really into it. I'd watch it again just to watch Forrest dance. So, you know, yeah, it was great. I'd watch it again. You know, I'd probably watch it one more. You know, I'll have like certain movies. I watch it for Christmas and I watch it for not Christmas. You know?
Okay. Okay. I'll say on like a tier list, I'm more likely to watch it again.
I mean, I watch it just to be watching it. I watch it if I'm walking in the room and mom's watching. I watch it because I want to eat my cheeseburger in peace, you know?
And this will keep cat away.
You're sitting down watching TV. I mean, sitting down eating dinner, but like, okay, I don't want to sit at the table. I'm going to watch TV. What am I going to watch?
You spend that whole time scrolling through Netflix forever.
I do. I want to say one thing about Jingle Jangle. I teared up. I didn't just choke up on Jingle Jangle. I was eating a bit. I was chewing a bit. Have you ever choked up and you feel like your throat closing because you're trying not to? Because Kat always look at me like, you're going to cry. So I'm trying hold back the tears. I'm feeling it. I feel it. So I'm trying to hold in the tears and my throat closes, but I got a biscuit in my mouth. So I almost choked. Choked up and choked.
Jesse. Cat, you almost killed your mom.
I ain't do nothing. Because there are times where I'll turn at her and be like, oh, you gonna cry. But this time, when Gustafson got the part before he went to Dale, she was like, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, when he gave him the gift to show him that he was thinking about him, I said, I'm gonna cry.
And then at the end of the movie, she started choking, and I was like,
one day we're gonna have a podcast about why our children won't let us cry.
No, y'all can cry all you want. It's a new phenomenon to me. You can. Y'all just
can't, because all y'all be like,
I used to do that to mom.
You want to know why? Y'all want to know why?
She cry on everything.
I'll tell y'all after this why I be looking at everyone crazy when you cry.
I don't think I cried on this. I'm curious later why y'all did.
Before I say what I liked about it, or that I liked it or whatever, I would say I cried. I'm a crier. As I get older, I'm a crier just about everything. And I blame my youngest, because when I was pregnant with him, I started crying on everything that happened. Anything that's good, I cry. So I cry when Anika and Nani Rose sang, and they like, you can stay. And I cry when he gave Justice and the yeah. And I don't mean a little teary choking up. Like, it's so beautiful.
I feel so crazy. When you texted talking about crying, I was like, y'all know I cry a lot. I was like, was it a cry?
You're like, I save my tears for the real stuff. Y'all better quit wasting tears. Well,
I know my tears go to waste. I cry on Kleenex commercials. So.
Oh my God. Commercial people pay it forward.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Anyway. Don't pay it for it in front of me. Oh my goodness.
I loved it. I would definitely watch it again. Y'all know I love musicals a lot, so that'll definitely be something that makes me watch it again. I thought everybody did very well in it. I thought Forrest was amazing. So yeah, I definitely watch it again. And it's Christmas. Shoot, I'm gonna watch it again on Christmas.
One last thing that I feel like at first I intentionally didn't say, but now I'm like, why didn't I? Quick thing. What'd y'all think of Grandma Journey?
that left her.
Okay.
I didn't know why she did that thing in her hand.
Right.
Was she born with that?
Right. No, you a robot, Journey? What's going on?
I have to ask. How did Greg get that her name?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, maybe they called her Grandma Jen.
But still.
It was a long time before I knew our grandmother's name.
Are you for real? For me.
Yep.
It was I'm named after one. So there's that.
Oh, see, I always knew their names. Okay. Now I feel when we and you asked me why did I watch this movie, I'm a wishy washer because I watched this. It's a Christmas movie. Is this a Christmas movie, Shell? No. So y'all got me on record. It's like this chick. She don't even know what's going on in the world.
I did it on purpose.
That's it. She lured you in.
You fell for it.
It was like one of the, it had a box that went. The box is still there.
Oh, like, it's a Christmas movie and Die Hard's not.
Well, I quite enjoyed it, and I'll say again, it's my Black Excellence weekend. I watched that and I watched Ma Rainey. So it was a great weekend of awesomeness. Loved it, and I'm glad we got to chat about it.
Yeah.
Me too. So good.
More for the folks. Watch it.
Yeah. So, are we?
So, who's gonna take us out? And you know what? I wish I could do a voice from this, but I can't. So, somebody else go ahead. And
I
take us
guess
out. You got it?
I guess yeah.
Okay.
So, you can listen and subscribe to Fandom City Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, and Amazon Music. FandomCity.Simplecast.com and wherever you find your podcast, check us out on our website, FandomCity.com. Check out our Tumblr and Instagram, both at Fandom City Mayor. Check out my personal art Instagram that I can't use right now because my arm's messed up, CatScribbles.art. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at McFarson.
I'm at Fandom City Mayor.
At Alderman Leona X. Sorry.
Okay, I'm at Fandom City Mayor.
I'm at City Sheriff.
Support your local library. Make sure to social distance still. Black Lives Matter. Wear a mask. Still social distance. 2020 is not over. In 2021, we don't know what's going on there.
Merry New Year.
Merry New Year. Happy
holiday. Whatever's left. I don't know what's left.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.